Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free expedited FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/hamnation. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 239, March 16th, 2016. Here comes the ICOM 7300. Yeah, it's Joe Walsh, WB6ACU, playing the theme from this wonderful show, and we call this show Ham Nation, and it's all about ham radio. I'm glad you could be aboard. We've got some really fascinating things tonight. There's always something great, but tonight's really special because we're going to have a couple of firsts. One of them is going to be that Ray Novak from ICOM is here with the new 7300 to talk a little about it. Ian George will be up here in a little bit, and just a lot of other things. I've got some interesting stuff from the UK about James Bond and ham radio. I just let you think about that for a while, but it's pretty cool. And we had that same viewer sent in a solution for RFI, and it's just one of the coolest things I've seen, and we'll get into it in a while. But before we get into all of this, we're going to go running around the horn, and Don is here tonight. Don, how are you doing, buddy? You okay?
I'm good. Yeah, the rains did not bother us at all, which is good. We had some high water in our area in town, and the Pearl River is still kind of high, but it's going down considerably. So we're still high and dry here. Thank you very much. We'll have news from Amateur Radio Newsline and more stuff tonight. And I am pumped to see the 7300 in action and to have Ray Novak on the show, Bob. So let's get this thing going.
Okay. Yeah, Valerie's going to be here in a little while. She's got a really cool thing. She worked the last man standing station on in the studio, and there's a video of it, and her and Amanda's going to be here in the chat room segment, and we're going to get to see and hear that. I'm really excited about that. So she'll be up here, but George has got a special guest, and you got two special guests. One of them's got a bunch of knobs on it, and the other one's got a bunch of brains in his head. And we love to see you. Part. Yeah. George, how are you doing? George Thomas and Ray Novak.
I'm doing pretty well tonight, Bob. This one is more fun right here, but we're going to be playing with it in a little bit later in the show. Say hello, Ray.
Hello, Ray. Hello, George, and hi, everybody out there.
All right. All right. Good to see you. Well, we're going to head down to Costa Mesa, and we'll just let him take off because Gordo's got a couple of really nice slides tonight. So, Gordo, let's see what you got for your segment tonight and from good old Costa Mesa.
Roger on that, Bob. Boy, those kids are having fun. Hey, listen, last week I talked about Pete the Greek, the call sign purveyor that can go all the way back to the 50s and 40s and 60s with his collection of call books and FCC database. His address, if you need to resurrect an old call sign, to email him is 12, T-W-E-L-V-E, V-D-C, like Volts D-C, at AOL.com. I left out the AOL last week. 12VDC at AOL.com. And he says, a lot of interest by those who let their ham license expire, their general, advanced, or their extra by more than 2 years, because just by taking the tech test, an old, old ham can get back into our hobby to the original license level they held, general or extra, by having Pete be able to give him the certification that he gets from the call book. So Pete the Greek is making it happen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about some protective circuitry for HF radios. And we did some interviewing of local technicians that work on all of the major brands of ham radio. And they said, on the newer rigs, be very careful of the front knob. Any manufacturer's rig, the front knob is very sensitive to getting whacked and killing the circuit behind it. And as you know, it's no longer a big variable capacitor behind the front knob. And another concern was the power output transistors. And the technician said, have no worry. Those power output transistors have protection, and Kenwood, Yaesu, ICOM, Elenco, all of them, especially ICOM America, has a special circuit so that if the SWR is high, which we're going to demo in just a moment, those power transistors will not blow. So let's take a look at what we're going to talk about, and that is radios. This came from one of our viewers, and they said you can't have enough radios, but there we go. A huge radio pack. And now we'll go into our talk with the technicians. And they said, you know, the old tube rigs, you could flash over the tubes if your SWR was too high and kill the radio instantly. So this technician says, be careful of the front knob on anyone's newer radio, because it is a circuit that is not a big capacitor that can take a licking and keep on ticking, but rather, it is an opto-isolator, and as you turn the big knob, an LED shines through this optical shaft encoder, and every time it detects a dark and then a light spot, it sends a code to the master VFO to change frequencies either up or down. And as you can see, this one is fragile. So be careful about that. This technician says, you know, on newer rigs, I very seldom ever see an output transistor that's gone bad. And here he's doing a checkout of one of the rigs. Most output transistors are well heat synced. This is one on a VHF UHF radio. You can see the heat sink material to cool it down. And all that white stuff is conductive cooling stuff that goes on the output transistors. Now, on the great ICOM products, look what they do. This is so smart. Ray, did you think of this? They put a sensitive circuit to monitor the heat. And if that transceiver begins to heat up dramatically, you're going to find that that radio is going to begin to fold back power. And bingo, you are protected. There you can see that circuit. If you didn't have that, and this is found on some of the other radios, that transistor can get hotter and hotter. And if it goes, you're in for a very expensive fix. So we encourage all of you to look at power output. And power output is going to tell you so much. Look at Ray. I can tell he's getting ready with that 7300. He's got a big smile. He's saying more power to you. And there it is. I had my hands on one a few weeks ago down in Florida. And wow, what a rig. Well, now we're going to jump over to the workbench here. And we're going to go to the output of a radio that you can see here. I'm not sure what happened to my video. It looks a little spastic. But I think it's going to work well enough that I can show you some of the things that will happen. If we were to transmit and our antenna was not correct, this particular radio, like ICOM and all the other radios, will begin to fold back power. Watch what happens when I transmit. Test 1, 2, 3. See it barely go up at all? But if I go ahead and put on the correct antenna. Now look what happens. Test 1, 2, 3. See it jump all the way over to the right. So it really points out that having a rig such as an ICOM and all of the other modern rigs with a power output indicator, if for any reason you're only showing half power output, and again, here's what that half power output looks like. Test 1, 2, 3. Notice it's not very high. Well, that's because the SWR is about 2.5 to 1. But if I then go on to the correct antenna and I do the 1, 2, 3, look at power output, 4, 5, 6. See it go all the way to the right? So I encourage everybody, while you can look at SWR, you can always tell by power output as to what's happening with the insides of your rig, and shows that your SWR is high if you're only getting half power out. Don't send your radio back to the manufacturer. There's nothing wrong with it. It is simply adjusting itself so that it's not going to be blowing up when the output power begins to fold back on purpose. Okay, I'm now going to turn it over to Don. So, Don, take it away.
Well, okay, I'll do that because we are going to talk about Ring. Ring is a really cool thing. Everyone knows the sound of your doorbell. It means that someone's dropping off a package or folks are coming over for dinner, but it could also be the sound of someone planning to rob you. Now, hopefully it's not, but over 95% of home break-ins happen during the day, and burglars almost always start by ringing your doorbell to see if you're home. Of course, you know, if you're home, they'll make up some story and walk off. But with the Ring doorbell, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. In fact, we've got a little piece of video here that I shot. Actually, well, I didn't shoot it. Just a couple of days ago, my son coming home from school. Here he is. And the Ring thing came on my phone. He's singing, by the way. He's singing. He's letting the dogs out, so the dogs are going to go outside. And the cool thing about Ring is you can talk to whoever it is there. And I started talking to the dogs. There's Ted, probably Ted and Amelia down there on the
Amelia.
Porch. There we go.
Daddy. Ted. Hi, Ted. Hello, Amelia. Doggies.
Yeah, Dad?
I'm talking to the dogs.
Ted.
What are you doing?
There we go.
Feeding the dogs.
Feeding the dogs?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So there, you know, you can use it for mundane stuff like talking to your kid, making sure that he feeds the dogs, seeing the delivery people, checking out someone who may be trying to break into your house. You get an instant alert and HD video of the whole thing. It's like having a neighbor or a trusted friend keep an eye on your place 24/7. So there you go. And it only takes minutes. Works with either your current wiring or a built-in rechargeable battery. That's what I have mine on the built-in rechargeable battery. It plugs into a USB port to charge back up. I get a notification on my phone. It tells me that the battery's getting low, and I charge it up at night and put it back on the next morning, and I'm good to go for another few months. Put your mind at ease. Protect your home with the Ring Video Doorbell. Time Magazine and USA Today named it one of their top 10 gadgets. Go to ring.com/hamnation. You will get free expedited FedEx shipping. Ring.com/hamnation. With Ring, you are always home, and peace of mind is priceless. I really believe in this product. It's really something you need. I also believe in giving you the news. So why don't we do that now with Amateur Radio Newsline? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2002, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. A few weeks back, we reported on the donation to the USS Indianapolis Memorial Museum of a rare RCK World War II receiver by Doug Christensen, KG5KSG of College Station, Texas. Here's an update.
We're happy to report that the radio, manufactured by the E.H. Scott Company in 1944, has been received in Indianapolis by the volunteer ham operators at the USS Indianapolis Memorial Radio Room. Chuck Crist, W9IH, the volunteer coordinator for the radio room, explains the significance of this rare find.
In the 1940s, the USS Indianapolis carried two different types of float planes, and it would launch these airplanes with a catapult off of the deck of the cruiser. Now, that was the problem. They had to be able to talk to the pilots in that airplane, which were working on a frequency somewhere between 115 and 156 megahertz, or megacycles in those days. This RCK was used as the receiver set of the TDQ, which was a transmitter, to allow the folks on the cruiser to talk to the airplane pilots and help them get back to the ship so they could get picked up. We're finding out that the one we've got now is working very well, and the guys are having a lot of fun playing with that.
The radio room exhibit, as the result of 8 years of work, contains over 50 pieces of fully operational equipment of the type aboard the ship at the time of its sinking, just 5 days before the end of World War II. For a look inside the room and the history behind the ship, log on to their website at www.usindyradio.org. From the Indiana War Memorial in downtown Indianapolis, this is Mike Surser, WA9FDO, reporting for Newsline.
The year-long National Parks on the Air program is a great opportunity to fill your log with contacts and fill your brain with some history, as we hear from Jim Dameron in 8TMW.
The frontier explorers Meriwether Lewis and William Clark could probably have benefited from having an amateur radio on board as they made their way through what was then the New American West. But the next best thing to that is the amateur radio operation taking place on Saturday, March 19th at the historic Illinois site that marks the starting point of the Adventurer's Trail. Helping mark the National Park Service's centennial, the state of Illinois historic site located at the beginning of the Lewis and Clark National Historic Trail will be hosting the all-day event from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. showcasing amateur radio. Local hams will be demonstrating the use of backup communications under emergency conditions, and we'll talk about ham radio's role aboard the International Space Station as well as with the American Red Cross and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The site is located in Hartford, Illinois, a few miles north of Illinois Route 3, and is operated by the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency. On March 19th, however, it will be operated by hams instead.
To find out more, go to www.arrl.org/NPOTA. While the expeditions to far-flung exotic corners of the Earth are fun for those participating on either side of the pileups, there's a lot more to it than just the trip and the contacts.
Forget for a moment all those QSL cards generated by the recent Intrepid DX Group de-expedition through the Falkland Islands. There's another kind of bounty, one that's likely to be more long-lasting. The Northern California DX Foundation, which operated the de-expedition, has announced a scholarship grant to the Falkland Island elementary and middle schools so they can buy amateur radio antennas, kits, and other equipment for the students, as well as to create supporting material for the classroom curriculum. The foundation credits David Collingham, K3LP, with doing the groundwork while in the Falklands, meeting with school administrators, teachers, and government officials as the team worked the bands recently in its South Sandwich and South Georgia operations. Part of the California Foundation's charter provides for the scholarship opportunities and for projects such as this to support the next generation of amateurs. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Mike Surser, WA9FDO, Jim Dameron in 8TMW, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5DW, saying 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. All right. We do not have Dr. T with us tonight for the solar update. We'll try to get her back next week. She had some personal stuff going on. Did not have time to make a video for us. But we do have Dr. Bob and we have Audio Alley, and that's just as good.
I've got so many emails and stuff to answer to this week. I appreciate all of them. By the way, you had a radio a while ago. Gordo, how do you like that for an equalizer? That's an EQ, all of that. So for all you guys that don't have enough knobs to twist, there you go. And I saw that at NAMM, and I thought, wow, I should take a picture of that. You definitely don't need that much equalization, but oh well. I want to say hi to Fred Corsi. He's from WBCQ, lot of shortwave stations out there today. And if you guys and gals aren't checking that out, Fred's got a show on Friday evening. And he's been writing me, and Charles Wall got his book and all that good stuff. So just tons of things. The best thing I have this week came from Peter Clark, G4PGS. We're going to get into Peter's rig in a little bit. But first of all, he had some RFI problems. And he's been listening and watching the show and did all kinds of things. He was using a light bulb for a dummy load and didn't have any problem getting the light bulb going. Everything was fine. But he was having RFI like crazy when he hooked this to his antenna. And he put in a 30 meg low pass filter, all of the normal things that you want to do, but he's on the second floor. Now, trying to run a ground rod or a wire down to your ground rod, that just makes a nice antenna. So that didn't work. Very ingenious. What Peter did was he got some 300 ohm twin lead, you know, like the old ribbon cable we had for television years ago. He got that twin lead and cut it to the length of the frequency he was using. He did a quarter wave, and let's see if I can show you a picture of one of these. He, on the end of the twin lead, he had a nice little solder lug, but he cut these to length. Next picture you'll see shows you a little better where he did two frequencies in here. This was one, that one was a little longer, and of course they all came back to that the twin lead. Well, that was coupled to his antenna tuner. There's a ground lug on his ATU, and it worked. And he has no RFI problems. His next-door neighbor's wall-mounted burglar alarm was going off, and lights are going on and off. Not anymore. He just did this counterpoise. Now, remember, he's on the second floor, and cut those twin leads. And you could use individual wires, but it made it really nice because he ran it down under the rug and up along the baseboard. In fact, he put it behind the baseboard. What a clever idea, but it worked. He didn't have any kind of counterpoise in his antenna, couldn't do it the way it was mounted. So we're very happy to have this information, Pete. But what really, really got my old ears up was what he was using. Pete was using a transmitter from somewhere in the 60s or 70s. It was the KW company. They were the Heath kit of the UK. They had kits. They had the Vanguard and a whole bunch of other models. Well, how many of you people watched James Bond? And specifically, how many of you watched Dr. No? And you remember the whole story, if you were Dr. No fans. Here's what happened. He would play cards. And at 6:30, I think it was, every night, his secretary would go down into his little office, and she had a shelf full of books. And she would move those books away. And what was behind the books? Aha! It was a radio station. What kind of radio station was that? And what was very clever about this whole thing, again, we're talking about James Bond now. He would sign the signal W6N, calling G7W, and W6N was the Jamaican base, WG7W was the London base. And if that call was interrupted or they didn't report the call by 7:30, the communications would be severed permanently, and an emergency came up, and oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, the actual equipment they used to do that was that KW. And here's a picture, a very nice picture of that vintage piece of gear. Had a pair of 6146s in it. And I got a kick out of the next one. This is cool. You can see the little microphone mounted in that panel that was the bookshelves. And the receiver was beside it. But that was all ham radio gear that Dr. No communicated with. Now, I remember we said he talked back to the London base. Well, the London base used Raycal receivers, a whole bunch of them. And there again, ham radio is around and well in a lot of things, from Andy Griffith to Dr. No, and about to have its own show, I understand. They're getting ready to do some things. We'll hear more about that in the fall, that there's going to be a series of shows on TV that has radio very synonymous, just as the good old guys at Last Man Standing. And we're going to hear and see more about that in just a little. But I was really thrilled to see all of this vintage gear and the KW stuff. Every once in a while, you'll see something about the KW gear, but it's pretty rare because it's not around much. But the old 6146s did their job in that too. But I was really happy to see all that, and I wanted to share that with you, especially his grounding. Quarter wave, you could use any kind of wire. It was very ingenious because he had to hide it because it was there in his home. And he did it by running it under the carpet and down around and put it behind the baseboard. So hats off, Peter. Thanks a lot, buddy, for sharing that. Before we move on here, I wanted to thank personally Pete the Greek. I've mentioned a couple of times how I got into ham radio, and George Crowder, K9DTQ, was a year ahead of me in school, and he was into radio pretty good for about a year, and I started hanging out down at his house, and I, too, got involved, but I lost track. George went into the Army for 20 years, and I lost track of him, and he let his call lapse, and I couldn't find him. Well, Pete the Greek did. Not only did Pete find him, he found his phone number. He called and talked to his wife and set up a time. And I got to talk to George here last week. I'm so thrilled. We're going to get back together again. And he just lives a couple hours from here. So we're going to plan a trip to go see the guy that started all of my life, my careers, and everything. And he doesn't know that. He really doesn't know what an important part ham radio has played in my life and my career. So, Pete, you're the guy, and I appreciate that very much. George, I got a question. I want to throw up to everybody. Adrian, VE7NZ, he bought an Acom 1000. It's a nice amplifier. But his question is, should he turn it on and off when he leaves the station and maybe comes back and forth a couple times a day? Or is it best just to leave it run all the time? And that's a good question. And there are very many different schools of thought. Yeah, you should do it. No, you shouldn't. Yeah, da da. And I thought I'd throw that out to you guys. Maybe the chat room would put some of their ideas into it and see if we can help Adrian come up with an answer. If there is an answer. In my case, I'm in this station lab quite a bit each day. I won't turn the finals on and off, but yeah, I'll leave them on if I'm working my morning nets or so on AM. I'll leave them run for 2 or 3 hours, and if I find out that really not getting into any other conversations. I will run them for, you know, 2 or 3, 4 hours. I never leave them on all the time. That's just me. So I just wonder if anybody else has a different opinion and so on for Adrian. So that's it for tonight. Now, what we learned about tonight was twin lead antennas, man, oh, man, oh, man, get rid of your RFI. That was a great story, and I appreciate it. So keep them coming. We've got a lot more demos and things we'll be doing, so stay tuned and let me know what you'd like to hear, that what we want to do. That's what this session is all about here in what we call Audio Alley. Don, it's back to you, and I think you got some really nice words about a very, very nice dealer up in Ohio.
I do, and as a matter of fact, your question, or Adrian's question about the ACOM amplifier, this would be the perfect people to call, because DX Engineering sells ACOM amplifiers, and in fact, oddly enough, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you're looking for a no-compromise RF amp for HF, ACOM and DX Engineering have you covered. Serious contesters have relied on cutting-edge ACOM amps for decades, and they have several models that cover HF and 6, and all, of course, the specs and features can be found at dxengineering.com. The 2000A from ACOM gives you fully automatic tuning, sophisticated digital control capabilities, uses a revolutionary amplifier design, easily gives you legal limit, 1,500 watts of distortion-free power, has a full-color control panel, sits right at your operating position, and you can remotely place the amp out of your way, maybe it's in a quieter spot. I think those ACOMs are pretty quiet anyway, but full automatic tuning gives contesters an edge by permitting lightning quick band switching, and that can make all the difference in your score if you're a big time contester. Also has an RS-232 port for a full PC control when you plug it in there. Optional remote power on unit is available as well. If you want to do 6, ACOM makes an HF plus 6 that also gives you full legal limit power. The 1500 covers all the HF bands and 6, incredibly low distortion and noise figures, large smooth knobs, sleek LCD screen, makes easy adjusting and very quick too. And the A1500 gives you 3 antenna outputs and nearly silent input bypass and antenna relays, makes it a great choice for the multiband contester or DXer. Also, it stores diagnostic and tuning data in one of 7 non-volatile memory banks. In case you have a problem, you can go back and check that out. And of course, that's just the tip of the ACOM iceberg. DX Engineering carries the full line of ACOM amps and accessories. And if you have a question, they're the perfect people to go to. The ACOM 1010 will give you 700 watts of power on the HF bands if you don't need that 1500. Also can withstand up to 240 watts of reflected power, significant drive spikes, and deep voltage drops. The 600S gives you comprehensive remote control capabilities. A high-resolution display gives you the comprehensive operating interface that ACOM is famous for. And the 600S is compatible with all transceivers on the market, and it only needs 25 watts or less of input power to operate. Great amplifier, and DX Engineering has most ACOM amps in stock and ready to ship to you right now. So go to dxengineering.com/hamnation. Get your ground shipping in. Buy your order in by 10 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday. And if it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helping you shrink the globe. As a matter of fact, I got an email. I don't have it here in front of me, but I remember him saying that he ordered from DX Engineering and placed his order and then picked up the phone and called back like 5 minutes later to change it. And they said, well, it's already on the truck. 5 minutes, and it was already on the truck. That is fast. Request your catalog or ship online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. They will help you shrink the globe. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of what we do here. Good stuff. You know, they carry ICOM as well as ACOM at DX Engineering. And you'll be able to get that new 7300. George, Ray, I think you should tell us a little bit about this thing.
Well, we actually have one here, Don. It's
I know, and I'm drooling.
I know you are. Ray, is the pollen getting to you here down south?
Man, I don't know what it is, but something's got me hacking this time. It's maybe it's Ham Nation jitters.
Ham Nation jitters. Well, I guess it could be. Well, this is a brand new rig, and there's too much that we could go over to fill the allotted time tonight. So let's just go over a few things here that we can. First, tell us about the back of it here, Ray.
Oh, very simple layout, very clean. DC connectors, single HF port. You notice the big fan, so we get 100% duty cycle on the radio. Still use the same AH4 antenna port on it. Your 13 pinned in to do your different, if you want to tie in your audio board like you do on your 7700.
Mm-hmm.
A USB port for rig control, your audio, as well as the IQ out in and outs. If you want to run one of those ACOM amps, you've got your ALC and your keying circuit, your quarter inch for your CW key, your remote connection, and external speaker.
Okay.
So it's a very clean backside of the radio.
All right. I'll agree with that. It looks pretty clean there. Let's turn it around now and get a little look at the front of it here as it boots up. Okay, let's see.
Take a look at
it. Get it in shot there. So, at first glance, this looks an awful lot like my IC7700.
Yes, sir, it does. But one of the nice things that you can do on this one is when you select the band that you want to go to, you just touch the screen.
Oh, wow. And you just go straight to a band.
Your different modes.
Yeah.
And we got a little bit of a glare there. So try to do this all live and edit. Makes it a little bit different there. You can't do a retake.
Yeah. It's it's color touch screen.
Yes, sir.
And so that cut down on the number of knobs that we need on the front of it for sure.
We also have a multifunction button that when you press it, it brings up a menu.
Okay.
You select the item that you want to adjust, so we can adjust the RF power.
Yeah.
So the user interface is very intuitive on what you want to do with it. There's two different owner's manuals. One is a quick start manual, and then the second one is on the CD-ROM that comes with it. I know I downloaded it earlier. I have not had a chance to read it, but it took a good half hour to download.
Oh, wow. It's pretty good size manual.
It's huh? It's a real nice size manual.
And so the rest of the knobs and buttons on here are what you typically see on any rig, your RF gain, your AF gain, twin passband tuning.
Yes, sir, and that's one of the interesting things. While it's a direct RF sampling SDR,
mm-hmm.
we keep a lot of the look and feel of your traditional ICOM radios. So when you're used to going to the twin passband tuning in the same direction, it brings up your IF shift. If you go in the opposite directions, it narrows down the passband.
Mm-hmm.
Or you select the filter just by touching, or if you press and hold.
Oh, then you get to fine-tune that filter.
Right. I mean, you can come in here and change the bandwidth as tight as 50 hertz or all the way out to 3600.
Okay.
But if any time you go, well, what was it originally? You can just hit the default button and it puts it back to normal. You've got your contouring for soft or a sharp filter.
So it's more or less, all of that's very similar to the bigger ICOM rigs, the 7600, 7700. User interface here would be very familiar to me.
Right.
I mean, I recognize what I'm looking at right there.
And that's one of the things that ICOM's HF engineers have done since they first came out with the Pro Series that Bob talks so much about, and that is keeping it where it's very similar. So the learning curve, when you go to upgrade a radio or you go to somebody else's shack and they've got another ICOM, you can plop down in front of it and operate it.
So what kind of different screens? Can you just show us a few different screens on the front?
Okay, well, exit out of the filters. This has got your scope.
And we don't have an antenna on it right now, so we're not seeing any activity.
Right, but when you do touch the scope, it will then zoom into a certain area, and then you can fine-tune where you want to go to in that band. You also have a complete menu system that, while Gordo was talking about SWR, introduced in the IC7000 was an SWR sweep. So you would set up your tuning step that you want to go, and each time you keyed the push to talk, the radio would transmit low power and do a sampling of your SWR, and you could kind of map out what your SWR curve looked like. Your voice keyer, your different transmit memory locations for it.
All right, so it has a voice keyer built in.
Yes, sir. Actually,
0.68711 megahertz USB.
So voice announcement of the frequency is built in.
Now, does it have the audio scopes and some of the newer functions that's been added in the recent firmware on some of the bigger rigs?
Yes, sir, it does. You've got your, where you can take a look at your audio, and you can adjust the time. Oh, sorry, wrong one. I'm not used to the touchscreen yet, so I'm hitting the wrong button. But you got your time intervals changes, your levels. You can have it hold a certain way, or if it's just too hot, you can change the sensitivity.
So that's a lot of stuff on an entry-level radio there.
And that's the key thing. It is an entry-level radio. I've seen in the different forums and had a lot of questions on what people have imagined that the radio has the capability of doing. But for the price point that you see, DX Engineering had it for $14.99 on their website. There's a lot of things it does not have. And that's because of the price point that's in it. We could have added more features to it, but then as you're doing those things, more you're expensive. Creeping the price up as well. Yeah. So, I mean, right at $1,500 for what you have in this box, I mean, to look at dual receive, yeah, you can have two of these and be right there performance-wise equal to, if not a little bit better, than the 7600.
Wow.
But
For similar money.
And yeah, that's the thing, the similar money on it. A lot of today's technology, when you look at where this radio is, this is the first software-defined radio from what you'd call the big three.
Yeah.
So a lot of R&D went into this radio to really see what you could do with the A to D converter, the FPGA, to do all the DSP performance and everything, as well as give you the live band scope, because in this price range, everything is a sweep. You're either sweeping the spectrum scope or you're listening to the audio. And on this radio, they're both going at the same time. Now, you can set the scope for either a fixed or a span bandwidth. You can go up to 1 meg wide on the scope.
Yeah.
But if you go to fixed, and you can have it look at a certain portion. So if you're doing CW work, you can look in a CW portion of the band, dial down to it. My favorite band is 20, so I'm a lot more familiar with where you go look for your extra operators and your DX windows for it. But you can look just at that specific area, and just touching the screen gets a little bit of a zoom in there.
So I had several people ask me, so is this going to replace my 7000? No, this is a little bigger than my 7000. This would, well, I don't know of a modern car that this would fit under the dashboard. This is more of a base type of radio, right?
It is a base type radio, but it's just a little over 5 pounds. So
you could take it portable.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
And in fact, what I see is 5, 10, 15 of these fitting into a Pelican, going to some remote island, and that being the D-Expedition radio.
Yeah.
And it's got a nice small footprint, one piece. The antenna tuner is built in. I mean, this is the same size as the 718, which is our real entry-level, under $600 HF radio. This has the antenna tuner built in, all your DSP, the sound card built into it. I mean, it's a real robust package.
Yeah, you don't need to add a external audio interface for it. That's already built in. You just put a driver on your computer and you're ready to work digital modes with.
Yeah, be careful. Download the ICOM drivers first. Don't just plug it in, because the software that wants to auto-define what drivers you use kind of screws things up. That's, download the ICOM drivers, you get two sets of drivers. One will be your real COM port, and then a virtual driver for the sound card in it. And it's more difficult to fix what your OS decides that it wants to load in instead of loading in the proper software.
Okay. That's typical with a lot of gear, that you follow the manufacturer's instructions. Usually it's going to tell you, install the drivers first or plug in the rig first, but follow the instructions. And in this case, it's going to tell you, install the drivers first.
Yeah, yes, it will. And one of the other things about the antenna tuner has got an emergency mode. That emergency mode will cut the radio down to 50% power, but the antenna tuner will handle up to a 10-to-1 SWR. So that opens up a whole new area for guys that are doing the national parks on the air. You don't have to take an elaborate antenna system. So you can have a lot of fun taking this out in the field with you.
Cool. It's an interesting looking radio. You wouldn't know it was a SDR just looking at it. Now, before the show, we were talking a little bit. That USB jack on the rear, you plug that in, then you can use this with all the popular different SDR software packages. Is that correct?
I'm assuming yes at this point. I have not had one to test
done it
out.
Yourself, yeah.
But towards the end of the month, we will. I don't see it being any different than the radios that have USB, like the 7200, 7410, 9100, 7600. The CI5 protocol that we use is pretty much standard across the board. Mm-hmm. There were some new commands that was added for this radio. So when you're using the RSBA1 software, you now can see the band scope on it.
Okay.
So that's been added to the command structure. I know some of the software guys out there have already looked to get the full-blown manual online that has all the new commands in it. So I know those guys are already working on incorporating it in their software. I know we've already got it incorporated into our remote software as well.
Cool. Well, Ray, it's a very interesting-looking radio here. It looks like the baby brother of my 7700. It really does. I know it's got different guts in it, but the user interface is so familiar looking on it.
It is going to be very familiar, and I know we're going to have Val and Amanda on here. Mm-hmm. They're going to be – I'll probably see Val and Visalia, and we'll have one of these, and be interesting to get her reaction from playing with the big radios at her big QTH. To see how familiar this feels to her.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to playing with this tomorrow. You and I will be shooting some video on it, and Tommy's going to drop in too. And we'll let you know when that's posted, where you can go watch it, because there's, it's a whole new ball game.
Am I going to need some added security to help me get this thing out of here?
Probably will. I have a roll of duct tape all ready to go over here, and I think we have some concrete blocks too. So, you know, it's been flooding around here lately.
And I noticed this rifle over here. It looks like it might shoot a pretty good size elephant dart.
Well, no, it's a BB gun. It can leave a nasty whelp.
Hey,
so
Ray,
tomorrow could be fun.
Just don't come south. Don't come south.
Don't come south.
Yeah,
no.
He's
down
to Picayune.
I will intercept you, and I will steal that, and I will keep it for myself. That is, I've got a question though. You said you kind of answered my question, but will I be as impressed with that receiver in that entry level radio as I was and still am with the receiver in the 7600? Because the 7600 has the best receiver I have ever heard in my life. And that sounds like you said, you get two of those and you've got pretty much basically the same thing or the same capabilities as a 7600 with the dual receivers. Am I going to be as impressed with the receiver in that 7,300 as I am in the 7,600?
The receiver in this radio is really going to surprise a lot of people. The specs are going to look real good. In comparison to it, there's just some of the features that you would see in your higher-end contest radios that this radio will not have.
Right.
The 7,600, 7,800, 7,700 all came out with the three roofing filters. This radio just has the 15 kilohertz roofing filter. When you go with a single roofing filter design, your narrowest filter is your widest mode used. So to... As I keep saying, there's a lot of high-performance features in this radio, but it is at an entry level, so everybody can afford to get this type of radio and play around with it and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's a lot you're going to be able to do in the digital domain with that, I believe, throwing with that all that conversion straight to digital. There's just I'm impressed. I've never even seen one yet, and I'm impressed, so I can't wait to find you at Huntsville and start twisting some knobs. That looks like a nice size package too. I'm right at the ragged edge of being the 7600 is right at the ragged edge of being too big for my operating position, but that looks like that would be just perfect. That is going to be a great radio for anybody that wants one, I'll tell you.
Well, the physical size of it is the same as a 718. So crazy as it might sound, the 718 has a mobile mounting bracket and it's the same bracket for this radio.
Look at this, Don.
I know. Shut your mouth.
He's fondling the knobs.
You just shut your mouth, George. I want one. That's nice. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is nice looking. Well, I guess we need to carry on here with the rest of the show, but we'll be shooting video on this, and we're going to learn a little more about it. And come on now.
Careful now.
As Ray learns about it, you know, because he doesn't know everything about this rig yet, but we've got a lot of figuring out to do tomorrow.
I mean, one of the best preliminary reviews of the product is from AB4BJ. Bill Jourdain. Will's the new guy that we hired a year ago. He's been at a lot of the Ham Fest with me. Will's holding the flashlight while Dad is sitting there playing around with it in the Disney campgrounds down in Orlando. I told him I wasn't taking it back to the room, and it was his responsibility in his rookie year to guard the radio. And what does he do? He turns it over to Dad, and they just go have a blast with it.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun learning more about it, and we'll let you know when that video is available and where you can go watch it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I guess why don't we get a message from one of our fine sponsors here. I think it's a radio manufacturer.
Is over. The IC7300 is here. ICOM's new innovative HF transceiver will far exceed your expectations for a radio considered entry level. The 7300's RF direct sampling system is an industry first. It departs from the conventional super heterodyne system. RF signals are directly converted to digital data. Digitizing the RF before various receiver stages reduces inherent noise generated from different IF stages. A large 4.3-inch color touchscreen promotes intuitive operation and functions like the waterfall, which displays high-level performance and resolution, sweep speed, and dynamic range. The audioscope function allows you to observe various audio frequency, transmit, and receive characteristics. And a high-resolution real-time spectrum scope includes a new magnify function. Other great IC7300 features include RMDR and superior phase noise characteristics, 15 discrete bandpass filters, and more. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur and learn more about the new ICOM IC7300.
And you can tune in and enter to win each week after Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats. And while you're there, you can learn how you could win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for March, it's the ICOM ID880H VHF UHF digital transceiver. Analog and D-Star, 50 watts on both VHF and UHF, wideband receiver, free CS80/880 cloning software, and a lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/amateur after this and each episode of Ham Nation. And there's another contest going on right now at ICOM. Ray, tell us a little bit about that.
It's a contest for those that are going to Dayton Hamvention. We always talk about sponsoring Contest University and the different events that mm-hmm. we do there. So for 12 lucky winners, two tickets per winner to Contest University on Thursday, and then to the contest dinner, dinner for two on us at the contest dinner.
All right, and that's at icomamerica.com/showusyourshack. Go register if you're going to be at Dayton. That's
a lot of fun there.
Yeah, sure is. Okay, well, I do want to give away something today. You know, I've been giving away Tim Duffy's coax here lately, and I'm working on a whole spool here. That's 50 foot right there.
If it was down at Pekin, would it be half a spool?
I don't know. I don't speak the language.
I get to pick on him now that he's not there to pick on me.
Okay. But nice DX Engineering coax here, 400 max. We're going to give away 50 feet right now. I'd asked a question last week. What can you do if you're told that your FM handheld or mobile transceiver is over-deviating? This came from the Amateur Radio Technician Exam. Your choices were A, talk louder into the microphone. B, let the transceiver cool off. C, change to a higher power level. Or D, talk farther away from the microphone. Well, we had a winner, Mike Mish, KG2AF, said you talk further away from the microphone. That fixes the microphone over deviation. And that's correct, Mike. Congratulations, DX Engineering will be sending you 50 foot of this 400 max coax here. Ray thinks he's going to take this 50 feet with him right here, but no, I'm going to give it away again next week. I've got another question. Bob talked about this earlier. So tell me, what does RFI stand for? If you think you know, send your answer to me, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And you could win 50 foot of DX Engineering 400 max coax. And Ray, you're following that coax over there. I know you got something to say about it.
Well, it wasn't the coax. I was just laughing. How many people do you know when there's somebody that they're talking to on a cell phone goes, I can't hear you. And immediately they start modulating the phone even more, thinking yeah. it's going to help them propagate better.
Yeah. Now I can't hear you even louder.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get Amanda in here to bail us out now. Amanda, what's going on out there?
Hi, you guys. Nice to have you on, Ray. And I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to wet your whistles since you guys have been talking a little bit. I'm going to go over to Val. Val, I heard you made a pretty cool contact the other day. Would you like to tell us about it?
Sure. Yeah, I was actually in the house cooking, and I saw a spot on the cluster for Whiskey Alpha 6 LMS, which stands for Last Man Standing. And I know that they every Tuesday night during their dinner break, or they try to get out there if they have a good dinner, you know, a good day, right during their dinner break, and work hams that have been wanting to work them on the set of the show. So with all my stuff on the stove cooking, I come flying out to the shack. I warm my amp up, go hook up my antenna, beam towards the West Coast, and right when my standby button went off on my amp, it was all warmed up, ready to go. Laura King called QRZ for the next call from the Last Man Standing set. So I got to work Whiskey Alpha 6, Last Man Standing, but the operator was really Laura King. She's an extra, and her call sign is Whiskey 6 MIX. So I guess you can probably figure out what she does. I'm sorry, KA6MLS, Last Man Standing. But Whiskey 6 MIX, you could probably figure out from that what her gig is on the show. She does all the audio mixing for the TV show of Last Man Standing. So John Amadeo and I think Rob, another gentleman on the set of the show, recorded our QSO. So they sent that to me. So I think you guys have that.
This is KA6LMS. Studio City, QRZ. November, Victor, 9, Lima.
November, Victor, 9, Lima.
Yeah, November, Victor, 9, Lima. Hey, Laura.
Hi, is this Valerie?
It is. How you doing?
Good. I'm looking at your card here on the wall. Thank you for the contact. You sound great.
Yeah, you guys are really loud here, but I got a 6 over 6 over 6 lobster stack.
There's a huge antenna. Head,
so. You sound good. Keep up the good
work. Oh, we're on a dipole.
Okay, yeah, we're on a dipole here.
Very good, very good. Well, keep it up. Have fun.
Thank you. This is Kilo Alpha 6. Name of Mike Sierra. Set of Studio City, or set of Last Man Standing in Studio City. QRZ. November 8, come back.
Kilowatt Zero Foxtrot Juliet.
Good afternoon. The name is Mike, located in Colby, Kansas. I appreciate the call. You're 5x9 here. Over.
Thank you. Yeah, you're 5x9 here. Sound great, Mike. Thank you for the contact. QRZ.
Yeah, and it comes to find out that was her very first time on HF. Talk about throwing the wolf into the lion's den or whatever. But she did great. Even Jerry, a seasoned de-expeditioner, was very impressed with how well W6MIX Laura handled that pileup being KA6, last man standing. So that was a lot of fun. And I got back to the stove before anything burned, so it was pretty good.
I know how that is. I have done that before. Honestly, I've turned everything off. I've got to go work this contact. So guilty.
Hey, and you know what? Can I do a quick plug for our sponsors? I just got to say, ICOM and ACOM, I use them both. And we just did the RITI contest last month, which is probably the most brutal you can be on your radio and your amps. And our ACOM 2000 right here. Which, by the way, we don't have enough room over here, so it has a remote control unit, which works out really nice. Went performed flawlessly 48 hours straight working RITI, and our ICOM radio, we've never had issues with that, and that goes through a lot of contests as well. So just a little shout-out to our sponsors. Love them both.
Very good. Say hi, Ray and George, before Val takes off.
Hey, Val, you just bored a hole right through all that RFI and all the QRM up there with 6 over 6 over 6. What is your ERP out after you turn on the amplifier?
Well, you know what? I don't crank the amp. I usually am only running 800 to 1,000 watts, so I'm not really cranking her up.
To 1,000 watts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just only.
Well, I don't do legal limit, you know. Only when I want to bust a rare DX. But, you know, she had a monster pileup. I don't know if any of you guys heard that. It was pretty big. And we were just so impressed with how well she did with that big pileup. She did great. She said she was exhausted. I think she did it like a half hour or so. She said she was just exhausted after that and had to go back to work on the set of the show. So,
with her ears ringing, no less, and she's an audio expert. I don't even know how she did that. Hey, Valerie, thanks so much for sharing that with us. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I'm going to move on to the questions here. And Ray, again, nice to have you on here. So let's just get to it, shall we? First of all, we have a very nice comment, Ray. Scott K0MD, he just had to say, this radio has a lot for the price, including antenna tuner, wideband scope, and it's very portable. It looks like a perfect home radio for a small desktop space or one that you can take on a trip. So he's really looking forward to it. My next comment is from W1CAT here in Colorado, one of our very good friends. He put money down on this, reserved it without even getting a chance to look at this thing. He was so excited about it. So there's some of your good comments there. And so for some of the questions, we wanted to go over what digital modes we can do out of the box.
Well, from the decode, I believe it just does the RTTY, but through the back of it, whatever your software that you're capable of doing.
Yeah, pretty much all of them through the USB port.
Yeah. As far as portability, okay. This one's mine, George.
No, I'm going to trade you this 50 foot of coax here, and we'll call it even.
Okay.
Very good. For the next question, Marty KC1CWF. We all know Marty. Hello, Marty. He wants to know if the 7300 supports remote control capabilities of the 76, 77, 78, yada, yada, on and on. Does it support the same remote capabilities?
With the RSBA1 software, yes, it does. You will need a laptop or a computer tied to the radio. The 7800 and 7700 has the Ethernet jack on it, so it does not have the computer processing power inside of it to have the server built into the radio like the big radios.
Okay. And I know you guys probably haven't played a lot with the equalizer or anything. It doesn't even look like you've had an antenna hooked up to it yet. But are you able to monitor your audio out? That's the first question. Second question, obviously, Heil microphones will plug right into this with the correct adapters, right?
Well, I know we'll have a whole session probably in the next audio alley for what I'm about to say, but the radio does have the monitor function. And yes, Bob, I know it's not the same as listening to yourself on the air, but you do have some equalization that you can do both for your transmit audio and your receive audio, but to really tailor it, you want to tailor it to where you sound normal on the radio.
Okay.
And what was the second part of the question?
The Heil microphone, will it work with it?
I would see why not. I know we do have a new hand mic for the radio itself, but I've not seen any of the schematics or had a chance to play with it with a Heil microphone to see how well it drives, if it's with the Pro Series or if it's with the 7200 Series for the mic circuit.
Okay, so I guess Bob will be getting one when they first come out so he can play around and let us all know how it works.
And he'll probably have the right equalization settings to really make the thing talk nicely like he's got on his webpage for all the other ICOM radios.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that'll just be a work in progress there to help everyone figure out how to do it properly. So, hey, you guys, that's the questions I have for tonight. Ray, so wonderful for you to bring that on the show. And I know you guys are going to have fun with it in the next coming days.
Well, thank you for having me on here, and I've enjoyed it.
Yeah,
definitely.
Thanks, Amanda.
I don't know if anyone else was left with us. Oh, there he is. Bob, I didn't know if you had any questions.
No, I just wanted to say thanks to you, Ray, for bringing that on. And I know you guys are going to really get into it the next couple of days, and I'm sure George will have a few little pieces of video he can share with us here in the next few weeks. That'll be great. And I look forward to getting into it and plugging it in and making it work. And I'm sure we have a microphone that'll work on it. I'm positive. If all else fails with ICOM, the ICM works beautifully, and we'll see about the rest, but I bet they will. So thanks a lot, Ray, and thanks to everybody. And Val, thanks for coming in for a quickie here to make it all happen on Last Man Standing. And by the way, if you aren't watching Last Man Standing, everybody should go watch it. It is an incredible show. Tim Allen is just so funny. He writes that show, and it's amazing. They have great actresses and nice stuff, and you see ham radio in it almost every night. You'll see it behind, and once in a while, they'll feature a ham radio portion. So check it out. It's on Friday night on ABC. I think it's 7 o'clock. Well, it depends on where you are, but 7 or 8 o'clock, but to ABC on Friday night. So check it out, and we'll all be watching it together. Well, we're going to wind things up here tonight and go get over on all the nets. Any frequencies anybody been seeing? 14.268, I know that's going to happen. Anything on 40 meters, George, have you seen?
71.80.5.
Yeah. And 355-800, star do drop in star, and D star reflector 14 module C.
Okay. Well, we'll all run over there and make it happen. That'll be super. Or, well, it's been a great time tonight, and we all learned something one way or the other. So 7-3, everybody. We'll see you right back here next week on Ham Nation.
73.
Okay.